7. The Gospel of Matthew in the 7th chapter. We'll just read in your hearing verses 13 and 14 as we break into the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you read the previous chapters in this, you'll find that God speaks of great blessings that attend His children as they live a life of faithful obedience unto Him. And then as you continue reading on, you'll find out that the Lord Jesus Christ gives deep and reaching and searching exposition of much of the laws of the Old Testament, and how that they have a spiritual application that we need to see and apply to our lives today. He also shows how short that humanity has come of His righteousness and His glory.
Right.
Manifesting how sinful mankind is. I was reading a letter today that had been written and sent to a preacher of some renown, and he published part of the letter in which that letter said, "I have been listening to sermons all my life. Now I've reached the golden years. I have been told that mankind is stuck and sinking in the miry sin as they live in their natural bodies upon this earth. I do not believe that. I do not believe that there is only one way that anyone will ever go to heaven. But if what you preach is true, may I be damned for all eternity." And he signed it. It's been quite a few years. He was in golden years, and it's been probably, if I remember the dates, 35, 40 years ago. He's in eternity, except God intervened. And manifest to him just who God Himself is.
Yeah.
He has got His request. But we don't want anything like that to happen to you.
Yeah.
I would hate, as I've told you, I know, but I would hate for people to hear the preaching of the Word of God from my lips, die in their sins, and in hell. That's a horrible place for us.
Yeah.
Eternity is a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat." Why does the vast majority walk that broad way through the wide gate and the broad way? Because. See what verse 14 says? Here's why. Because. Straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. People do not like the idea of a narrow gospel. People don't like the idea of one way to heaven. People don't like the idea of submitting to a holy God. Whether you do or not, He is.
That's right.
It is an astonishing fact that much of humanity believes the existence of God depends upon their believing it or not believing it. But let me tell you something. One of these days, this earth's going to dissolve, melt with fervent heat. There won't be any elements left, but God will still be God.
Yeah.
Before there was an earth, God was God.
Mm-hmm.
When the eternal ages roll on, God will still be God.
Yes.
He will never change, and He will never advocate. And you don't have to believe that He's God. You can just go to hell.
Right.
Preacher, you're awful narrow, if I'm honest.
Amen.
You see, people say, "Preacher, don't judge." I'm not judging about that.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm doing is being a reporter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just crying forth the message that God has given.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, if I say you'll go to hell without Jesus Christ, if I don't have the Word of God to back it up, it don't mean anything.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But when God says, if you don't believe in the record that I've given to my Son, in hell you'll lift up your eyes being in torments, that means something.
Amen.
You can disagree with me all you want to, but you better not disagree with God.
Mm-hmm.
He will have the final say.
Mm-hmm.
At His Word, His authority. All right. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. In these two verses, we have some twos. There are two gates. There are two ways. There are two groups of people. And there's two destinations.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not the outline, but I want you to know that's in here.
Mm-hmm.
Humanity is and has been in a state of flux. Well, that just means we're constantly changing and moving. There's not anyone who ever is exactly where they were when they came forth from the womb. Many of us have been places in travel that we never knew existed when we were young. Had no earthly idea that these things would ever be seen or known by us. But mankind is constantly changing. Someone says, preacher, I don't like change. It's too bad, because that's all you do.
Yep.
That's all life is. It's just change, change, change. You can change skin. Change hair follicles. Don't tell me you don't like change. That's all we do. Ask Judy. See if I look like I did when we got married. Well, ask me if she does. Oh, no, never mind that. Don't ask me. But bottom line is, people do not like change, and one of the reasons is because they like the way things are going for them. They want to continue to do just what they're doing. This passage of Scripture states emphatically that we are one of two groups of humanity. We either have entered in at the broad gate, or we have entered in at the straight gate. We either right now are walking on the broad way that leads to destruction, or we are walking on the narrow way that leads to life everlasting.
Mm-hmm.
Say, preacher, I'm not on every one. Yes, you are. You say, I don't think so. Let that change it.
That's right.
Think what you want, but it won't change it. As we consider this tonight, I would like for you to think with me about the road well traveled. I read a poem many years ago about the road less traveled. And, you know, that's the other side of the sermon we all won't get to, I promise. But I want us to think about the road well traveled. Listen to this wide gate, broad way that leads to destruction. This way of walking on the broad way is an easy way to go through life. It's easy. Going through this life on the broad way is the easiest thing you can ever do. Well, why did I get on it? We was born. And you came into this world spiritually DOA. Did when you got here. We are sinners by the nature we receive from our parents. We are sinners by choice. We're sinners by the declaration of Almighty God, believe it or not. And that has started with us as soon as we took our first step, or even before. This way is so easy to walk, you don't have to do a thing different than what you've done. All you got to do is just keep walking. Jesus Christ says the first thing warning is enter. He doesn't say anything about entering into the broad gate, does he? Or the wide gate and the broad way. Why? Because they're already there. in our natural state without faith in Jesus Christ, that's what we're doing, is walking that broad way. And it's so easy. We just keep going. We just keep going. We just keep going. Well, I think I'm doing pretty good. Well, I'm not as bad as somebody else. Well, I'm not like this, and I'm not like him, and I'm not like her. Let me tell you who you're not like. The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And that's the standard that God holds. And you can believe Jesus. Because except your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will in no wise enter into heaven. This word enter is aorosis. And it is in the imperial sense in Greek. That means you say it's a mandatory thing. This is something you got to do if you're ever going to walk the narrow way. You must enter. That requires a movement of change. It requires a cessation of walking on that broad way, that easy way, and to turn and actually go against the flow. You say it's easier to go alone. It sure is. Yep. Don't think about where you're going, because that's another story. This way is easy because you don't have to do anything. Just keep going. It's easy because it's filled up. Surely everybody, the majority, has got to be right. Wrong again. Look at the comparison here. The Lord Jesus Christ says in 13 that many, the close of it says, many there be which go in thereat, that broad way that leads to destruction. In verse 14, that straight gate and narrow way leadeth to life. There are few that be the finest. And our Lord is not saying that only a few people will be in heaven. That's not the declaration here. But I do believe that compared to the totality of the human race, there will be less than 50% of them that go to heaven. That's the story here. The story here is don't go with the crowd. The story is don't go with the popular opinion. The story is you don't have to be politically right. The story is you've got to be spiritually right. And you've got to get off of that way that you've been walking. It's filled up, and it has many encouragements upon it. We live in a licentious society. About the only thing that really gains popularity today is evil. You know, our God prophesied that there would come a time when they would call evil good and good evil.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, guess what? It's here.
Yep.
You know as well as I do, they're calling sodomy good. They're calling it just the way that they were born. Well, the way they were born has something to do with it, because they were born totally depraved and in love with sin. But God didn't make them that way. It's not a part of their gene pool, except the fact that they have a depraved nature in their gene pool.
Amen. Amen.
I've heard so many things that genes cause, I'm going to change my name. It's not a problem with genes. It's not a problem with the environment. It's not a problem with upbringing. It's a problem of love of sin. And an insatiable desire that sin has an appetite which keeps craving, craving, craving. Sin is just like drugs. You can't tell all you want, but then it's not enough. You've got to have something more. Then you've got to have something more. Someone says, oh, preacher, you know it's not bad just to drink a beer now and then. Well, I don't want to debate that with you, but I want to tell you where it goes. You know, my first question, why in the world would you want to? Before God saved me, I'm ashamed of this. I drank a few, probably not more than 12 my whole life. I'm telling you right now, that stuff stays taste awful. Believe me, don't try it. You know, I won't even tell you what it looks like. Just pour a can out on the ground. You see, you know, foamed up, and just look at it. Y'all, just look at it. you? Well, you know, a little pop, if I don't inhale it, I won't do any harm. It's like that one beer, you won't stop. It's like that one joint, you won't quit. Sin gets a hold, and it grows, and it controls. And the nature of mankind is such that whatever makes the body feel good, you want more of it. And it takes more to get the same effect as the body becomes immune to that which you put into it. Sin. Society approves it. Demons promote it. Doesn't that sound like a good people to follow? Devil-possessed people, devil-influenced people, and people who murder babies and who do all these kind of things, that's who you want? Follow and have a hero? No. But it's easy to go with them. This way is so easy because it's a little hard to get off of them. You know, as a matter of fact, with man, it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible.
Amen.
I'm telling you right now, you cannot stop yourself. I've heard people say, well, I'm going to start doing better. Well, ain't nothing wrong with that. But you can do a whole lot better than die and go to hell. It's not what you do. It's knowing what Jesus did that makes the difference. It takes the power of God to take one who drinks iniquity like water, who is in love with it, and loves darkness rather than light. It takes the power of God to turn that man around.
Right.
I can't do it. You can't do it. Nobody can do it. So you just walk that easy way. This is not only an easy way, but it's an enjoyable way. You know, God's awful honest in His Word. Hebrews 11:25, speaking of Moses, the Word of God says that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin. God said, yes, there's pleasure to the body in sin. I'm not going to lie to you. God ain't lying to you. There's joy to the body. There's feel good to the body. There's all kinds of things that it does. The rest of that verse says for a season.
Right.
And it's a short season.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you did not end up caught, it can wreck your life.
Mm-hmm.
But you will. This way is enjoyable because it's attractive. Mm. I mean, we used to be honest, you know, some of the leading, Lord, I don't know what you call them, people of renown in society, movies, athletes, all these kinds of things, they're attractive. But it's only a season.
Right.
This way is enjoyable because it's very inclusive. You can just do anything you want. Do what feels good to you. I'll do what feels good to me. It's just us. It ain't none of your business what we do. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Indulgent, permissive, and self-congratulating. Now, that's all enjoyable. This way feeds the flesh, pampers it, promises it. You'll just have a good time. Years ago in school, some of the guys would say, well, let's just go out tonight. Well, that's all right. You know, Yankton County, you can make all fun of you want to, but it's a dry county as long as I live there. You know what that means? It means you can't legally buy an ounce of alcohol anywhere else at that time. I don't want to. Doubt that's still true. But then you could. But man, they got a car. All you got to do is cross the county line. come back to the park down there at the river, hang out, have fun. And I never did enjoy it a lot, but when I seen some of them the next day that really said they had a good time, it felt good to them. They really enjoyed it. They sure didn't look like they enjoyed it. It's astonishing to me why people won't do something that cost them about everything they got in the world and make them feel like they wish they'd dead. And then go do it again. I don't understand that. And then say, well, they're not afraid. They're not in love with sin. They enjoy sin. Love sin. Run after sin. This broad way, the road well traveled, is the one that is most agreeable to humanity. It is the one that causes others to follow and go and live day by day. There was many slogans in years gone by. I remember well one that said, the weekend is made for Michelob. What's it? Weekend was made for serving God on the Lord's Day.
Yeah, that's right.
Go for the gusto. Grab and enjoy life at its fullest. You know what they had when they was advertising these things? They had some slender, almost naked woman and some hunk of a man standing around sipping these things. They don't go down to the alleys.
No.
They don't go to the homes where the children are without food. The wives are black and blue. And the social services come and takes the children away. They don't tell you about all that.
Right.
But that's what it gets. And that's where it goes. You say, you don't believe that, do you? Yes, I know it. I've knocked on the door of my sister's home and saw blood pouring out of her nose and eyes. Her husband beat her because he was drunk, threatening their children. He was supposed to be a good man by society standards and a good provider. I could use with a little less money and a whole lot more love and compassion. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
Most of you know some about my younger brother, so I told you. I go preach. He'd go to jail. He's dead. Been dead for several years now. But I venture to say he spent more of his life in prison than he did free. More than likely, there's no sin short of murder, and he said he did that. I don't know. But he said he did. No sin short of murder he wasn't involved in. Children? Why? God forbid, soul problem. But he enjoyed it. Oh, it's not only an easy way and an enjoyable way, but this is an exciting way in the world. This broad way is exciting because it fills you with entertainment. We and the world of life and wickedness is addicted to entertainment.
Yes.
We feel if we're not being entertained, we're being deprived. I thought about this. And right now, this is just in pro stuff now, okay? You've got NASCAR races. I'm not picking on anyone. I'm telling you they're out there. Baseball. Basketball. Golf. Tennis. Soccer. I mean, you just keep going. And that's not enough. They run commercials Oh, this new movie, everybody's got to see it. Why? Because we want to be entertained. TV programs leave you hanging on the edge of your seat, entertaining you. You don't have to do a thing. Sit there and watch that one-eyed monster just brainwash you.
Mm-hmm.
It's true.
Yeah.
Well, but it's entertaining. I don't have to do anything. I just sit there and enjoy it. I don't have to think about God. I don't have to think about the end of this way. I don't have to do anything. The world lulling people to hell. And they think it's exciting. Entertaining themselves on their way to hell. Gambling. Oh, what in the world is some of this stuff they got here? Fantasy football. I don't know what that is. But I bet it has something to do with money.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. You know, I don't care. Except I feel sorry for people that are addicted to throwing their money away for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Lotteries? Really, don't waste your money. If they weren't going to make money off of whoever buys tickets, they wouldn't have ever opened a business.
That's right.
You say, oh, you don't know how much I won. Well, count how much you lose before you die.
Right.
See who comes out ahead. There'll be a few hit the big one. And that becomes American Dream. You know that? It has. It's no longer a good job and a good family and providing, taking care of them, and living a right life. It's getting rich overnight. Excitement. Oh, this might do it. I'll scratch it off right now. Hey, wait! Danger. Why don't you open up an amusement park that ain't got anything but a merry-go-round and a set of just regular swings. See how they mob it. If you get something, they'll take them up there so high they can't see the ground and drop them. Woo! Let's do it again. I'll buy another ticket. Brother Pete and Sister Patty took us with them down to Myrtle Beach this couple winters ago, or 4 or 5 days. And where we were at was right beside some kind of an amusement park. And this was cold weather. I mean, this is really all season. You understand that? But they were lined up to get up into this thing that took them up into the air. Over 300 foot, you see it. And you get them up there, and they just sit there for about 5 seconds, and then boom. Buddy, I got all I wanted of that sitting in the room and watching through the window. And I closed the curtain. And we went out walking. Do you know it cost $20 a person to ride that thing? And they were lining up and lining up in cold weather to get on it. See anybody on the boardwalk? Didn't see those things. Oh, but it's dangerous. Yeah, that's exciting. It's exciting because everybody says it is. This is fun. How do you know? Well, because they told me it was. Well, you know, if they say it's fun, it's fun. Well, don't you have a brain of your own? Are you afraid to engage it? Must you be led around by the nose? No, can't you think for yourself? Can't you determine what's exciting and what's not? I'm going to tell you something. We're just about to embark on the most exciting day of the week to me.
Amen.
You know, that's smart.
Amen.
It's called Lord's Day.
Yep.
I'm all ready. I don't get home from one Sunday till I get to looking forward to the next one. Friday's not the day I'm thankful for. I'm thankful that God gives me a Lord's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And a place to go. That excites me. That excites me.
Yeah.
There's so many doing this and so many thrilled and so much excited. It's got to be right. No, it's just a lot of people blinded by the devil and God is the world.
Amen.
The lights of glory to humanity, self-indulgence, self-gratification, instant. This world is instant. I mean, what do you got instant nowadays? I got a better question. What don't you have instant? You know, I've seen in the grocery stores now what's supposed to be, they call them real mashed potatoes made by Bob Evans or any of these other places, you know, and you ain't got to do a thing in this world, pop them in the microwave. Peel the lid and start eating. Judy gets aggravated with me. Because by the time we're through with the meal, I begin to think, what's next? Now, it's not that I'm worried about having anything, but that's how it was when I grew up. You know, if you're going to go out somewhere out yonder and carry the wood in and go wind the water out of the well and carry it in and go out there and trap or shoot and bring home and skin and clean whatever you're going to have to eat, you don't wait till it's time to eat and start thinking about what you're going to have. But that's the way it is today. And that's exciting. But with this way being as easy as it is, as enjoyable as it is, as exciting as this Broadway is, and as well-traveled as it is, don't you want to know where you're going? You want to know the end of this way? God gives us a travel brochure of the end of this Broadway.
Mm-hmm.
Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. Damnation. Preacher, that's hard words. It's a lot worse to experience it than to hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot. And I certainly cannot even explain the horrors of that place called hell or a lake that burns with fire and brimstone. I cannot comprehend it. 16th chapter of Luke. Now, I'm not going to turn and read it. You can. Please do. But there has been recently some active eruptions of some more volcanoes in spots around this globe.
Yeah.
And I believe, as close as our mind can comprehend what hell or the lake of fire would be, is that which spews from the heart of the earth through one of those volcanoes. So I looked up just how hot is lava. And you know, and some of you too have been to Hawaii. And I don't know if you did or not, but we went on a trip, and we went into a tunnel that I thought maybe had been dug by man and machine, because it was big enough to stand up, and it's all up there over your head, and you couldn't reach the sides of it, and it's level flat on the bottom. You want to know what made it? Lava came up against the side of a mountain, and it just melted its way all the way through it. I saw a piece on the news that showed that stuff coming down and hit tree, and it's just like a piece of tissue paper in a blast furnace. Rolled on down, and here was an automobile. The next thing you know, ain't no automobile left. Yeah, well, did it stop it? No, it kept going. It hit a home. What happened then? Well, no home left. This temperature of lava, according to what I researched, can be up to 2,200 degrees Fahrenheit. Mm. Folks, that's hot.
Yeah.
Water boils at 212. Anybody want to pour boiling water on? Well, lava is 10 times that hot. And hail is worse.
Mm-hmm.
The surface of the sun is approximately 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit. Well, boy, that's a whole lot hotter than lava. Well, yeah. But it's not as hot as a lake that burnt the fire and brimstone. Walk out there sometime in mid-July on the sunniest day and just lay down on this blacktop road. Just lay there a couple hours. Just pull your pants legs up so the back of your legs is shining. You know, make sure your arms are held out so they can get a little sun on them. That sun is 93 million miles away from you. And it'll burn you.
Mm-hmm.
And that temperature there probably won't be over 120 at the most. But it will burn you up.
Yes.
In a few hours. Pale. Immeasurably hotter than that. And it's not a few hours. It's forever.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no remedy. And there's no hope. And there's no relief. And there's no comfort. And there's no peace. And there's no joy. There's just, I don't know, God's travel brochure about what you'll be doing. You'll be weeping and waiting and gnashing teeth. Well, who might I see there? Well, you see the devil.
Yeah.
All his things. Hitler problem, mass murderers, homicidal rapists. Sound like a good neighborhood? I wouldn't want to live next door to that. You don't want to spend eternity with it. You better plead, what in the world do I do? What do I do? When Jesus said the first word, enter. Enter. He never says enter the broad way. You don't have to. You're already there.
That's right.
Yeah.
You got to change. They say, preacher, how do I change? You change by believing what God's word says. God says, he that cometh to me must believe that I am.
Amen.
That's number one.
Mm-hmm.
You believe that God is existing. You believe God is real. You believe God is what he says he is. You believe God will save your soul. Trust him. Say, preacher, what have I got to do? Just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Brother Jimmy probably remembers I was out there in New Mexico one evening and I preached a sermon on what does it mean to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ? I don't remember her name, but I think it was one of your cousins that was there with me. She says, what can I do to be saved? I said, I don't mean to be smart. I don't mean to be anything. But all I can tell you is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Scripture, and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's what God says. Mm-hmm. Acts 16:31.
Yep.
That's a fact. You say, preacher, what does it mean? It means believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yep.
What's that? Well, I know what he says is true. I believe him. I'm trusting him. Well, you know what I've done? No, but I don't care. You hadn't done what I've done, probably, but then I hadn't done what you've done. But the same Savior saved both. Believe on him.
Yep.
Just simply that. There is a road well traveled. And except you have come to faith in Jesus Christ, you are right now walking on that road. All you got to do is just keep doing the same thing. And it leads you. Oh, preacher, this is easy. Oh, preacher, this is enjoyable. Sure is. Oh, this is exciting. Sure is. But the end of our life is the way to go.
That's right.
I've lived. I've lived in the pastor, empty. Brother Pat, you've been preaching long.
Yeah.
Anybody here can help you. You got questions. Especially if you're concerned for your soul. We won't see Jesus Christ glorified before he saves your soul. You'll be glorified.
Mm-hmm.
We'll rejoice.
Amen.